fight is on. I'll hold my ground. I'm gonna crash the lies of the enemy. I won't back down, 'cause I'm not alone. With you, my God, I'll conquer.
Nothing compares. Well, hello, campers, and welcome back to another amazing week of Camp South Grove. We are so excited that you're here, and my name is Camp Counselor Bree, and this is Camp Counselor...
Shh! You can't tell my real name. You have to tell my superhero name.
Which is?
Captain Skywalker.
Oh, okay, Captain Skywalker. What's your superpower?
I am invincible. But I can't eat broccoli or peas or any other vegetable.
You know, I don't think you understand what invincible means.
Why do you say that?
What does it mean? Tell me.
It means you can't see me, duh.
No, that's invisible. Invincible means that you have no weaknesses. It means you can't be beaten.
Oh, I only know one person that's like that. Isn't it Jesus?
Yes, that's exactly right. In fact, that's actually what we're learning about today in our lesson. But before we get there, I have a question for you, Captain Skywalker. Have you ever been hurt, injured, or broken a bone?
Yeah, actually, I did break my finger one time playing basketball.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, sorry to hear that, but the best way to cheer up from that is to go listen to Cowboy Cooper and sing his memory verse song with him. So let's go do that now.
Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be. Yeah, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be. Yeah, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3.
Welcome back to Camp South Grove. I can't believe that we've almost made it through our entire summer. Today, we are talking about the very last book of the Bible. Today's part of the Big God story shows us that Jesus is invincible, that he's all-powerful, and like we sing about sometimes, that he's undefeated. Now, before we dive into our story, let's stop and pray together. Jesus, thank you that you are powerful. Lord, that you already have the victory and you have a plan that you will return and make all things new. Lord, help us to understand and know more about you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, throughout the Big God story, we've heard a lot about Jesus. So I have a question. What do you know about Jesus? Can you think of anything right now? Is there someone there with you that you could tell? What do you know about Jesus? We've heard, you know, that he's the Redeemer, that God promised to send, that he's the one who made a way for God's people to have a perfect relationship restored with God and live an eternal life in heaven. He was born in a manger at Christmas in a small little town called Bethlehem. And during his life, he served others, he healed others, he cared for others, and he told everyone what it means to follow God. And as we've been learning this summer, He then died on the cross and rose again and ascended into heaven, and he left us the gift of his Holy Spirit to help us live in a relationship with God every day. Now, as I mentioned, we're talking about that Jesus has made this promise that he's going to return one day. What do you think that will be like? What do you think it will be like when Jesus comes back on this earth just like he did 2,000 years ago? Well, you know what's really cool? Is that the Bible actually tells us what it's going to be like when Jesus returns. It's this letter called The Revelation of Jesus Christ, and you probably know it in your Bible as the very last book, just called Revelation. You know, you've been hearing about all these letters from Paul, and we talked about a letter from James to all these in churches to give them encouragement. And this Revelation of Jesus Christ, this letter, was written to the early churches, but it's a very different kind of letter. It was a letter describing a vision that an angel gave to a man named John. Because the Roman authorities didn't like John spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, they sent him away to an island. And there, an angel met with him and told him some amazing things. So the first thing John did was write a letter describing all the things that the angel showed him and what Jesus looked like. John described what it would be like when Jesus comes back. And we can read that in Revelation chapter 1. So in Revelation chapter 1, remember, it's all the way at the end of your Bible. There's not even going to be very much left. Starting in verse 13, John tells us what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back, what he's going to look like. It says, in the middle of them was someone who looked like the Son of Man, which we know is a name often referred to talking about Jesus. And he was dressed in a long robe with a gold strip of cloth around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as the snow. His eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze metal glowing in a furnace. His voice sounded like rushing waters. He held seven stars in his right hand. Out of his mouth came a sharp sword that had two edges, and his face was like the sun shining in all of his brightness. Wow, what an amazing picture of what Jesus will look like. I mean, that had to be crazy for John to get this picture from the angel of what it would be like when Jesus returned. If you saw Jesus like that, how it's described in the book of Revelation, what do you think you would do? How would you act? How would you feel? Maybe you'd start praising him or thanking him. Or maybe you'd be a little scared. You'd be a little confused. Maybe you'd recognize right away that it's Jesus and go running after him. Well, as we go on in the book of Revelation, John wrote many other chapters describing the battles between good and evil that are eventually going to take place and how Jesus will win because, like we said, Jesus is invincible. So let's turn a few pages to chapter 19 and read about the celebration of Jesus' undefeated power. So if you just flip a few pages in your Bible to Revelation chapter 19, we're going to read verse 6. It says, "Then I heard a noise of a huge crowd. It sounded like a roar of rushing waters and like loud thunder. The people were shouting, 'Hallelujah! Our Lord God is the King who rules over all.'" Now, that's pretty great, but there's even more. Can you jump ahead a few verses in your Bible to Revelation 19, so same chapter, but verse 11. It goes on to say, "I saw heaven standing open. There in front of me was a white horse, its rider called Faithful and True. When he judges or makes war, he is always fair. His eyes are like a blazing fire. On his head are many crowns, a name written on him that only he knows. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, and they were dressed in fine linen, white and clean." Out of the writer's mouth came a sharp sword, and he will strike down the nations with it. Scripture says he will rule them with an iron rod. He stomps on the grapes of God's winepress, and the winepress stands for the terrible anger of God who rules over all. Here is the name that is written on the rider's robe and his thigh, the greatest king of all and the most powerful Lord of all. There are some translations that say he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In this great battle, Jesus defeats the enemy. He defeats Satan. He defeats all evil of this world. What began back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve is completed as Jesus, in power and in glory, takes his place as the absolute ruler over the earth. Jesus defeats the enemy. Jesus defeats evil because Jesus is invincible. He is undefeated. And us who believe in him, will get to live with him as our King of Kings and as our Lord of Lords. Now, I want to read a little bit more in the book of Revelation. So turn one more time with me to Revelation 21. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. Can you find it? It was just a couple pages after. So we're going to read it all together. Starting in verse 3, it says, I heard a loud voice from the throne, and it said, now God makes his home with the people, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sadness. There will be no more crying or pain. Things are no longer the way that they used to be. And after all of this time, God will do what he said he would do at the beginning of the big God story. He will create a new heaven and a new earth. God will completely defeat evil, destroy death, and make everything new. And we will see him face to face. I don't know about you, but I think that sounds amazing. I want to be saved by an invincible king, an invincible King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to see Jesus return. I want him to come back and fully reveal God's glory, showing once and for all what love and truth really look like. I want him to return for all people to see. Jesus is returning to this earth one day, and he is invincible. He can't be defeated. Now, throughout the big God story, we have seen Jesus as a man and as a servant, as a healer, as a teacher and a friend and a son and a model of what perfect love looks like. He's also the one who beat death and paid for our sins. And now we get a picture of Jesus revealing the fullness of God. One day we will see him in all of his glory as the King of Kings, the ultimate invincible ruler over all. The book of Revelation lets us jump ahead to the end of the story. And guess what? Jesus wins. Jesus returns in power and might and conquers and destroys evil forever. And because Jesus is invincible, we can trust that Jesus is and always will be victorious. There's one more verse in Revelation 21:6 that says this. Jesus tells the people, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. When we're thirsty and we want a drink of water and we need it, and just like how we can't live without water, we can't live our best life without Jesus because he's living water. Our souls will always grow tired and get worn out, but when we're thirsty, we can come to him. The water of life is forever with God. Jesus offers salvation from our sin and invites each of us to be in a loving relationship with him forever, where we will always have access to the living water that he talks about. As the music plays, I want you to find a quiet spot in the room, wherever you are. Close your eyes and imagine Jesus as the invincible God, because that's who he is. What does it mean that he loves you? What does it mean to you that he loves you and he died for you and he wants a relationship with you forever? Maybe you've been in a relationship with God for some time now, but maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus. You've never understood that he came to save you from your sins. And the Bible tells us that he's gonna come back again. Maybe you've never experienced that living water, that water of life that Jesus offers. If you want to become a part of God's family today, you can declare that you trust Jesus, that you believe this story is true, that you believe that Jesus came and died and rose again to save you, and that he is coming back again. If you want that relationship with Jesus, it doesn't take any fancy words or anything crazy. The Bible tells us that all we have to do is confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, and we will be saved. So if that's something that you want to do, I invite you to pray with me right now before we head into our respond time. Jesus, we admit that we have made mistakes, that we are not perfect, that we have sinned, Lord, but we believe in our hearts, Lord, that you lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose again for our sin, Lord. We confess that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that you are invincible and that you are coming back again. And Lord, we say today that we put our trust in you and we want a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, you're our confidence. You're our hope. You're our Savior. We love you today. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we shines for all to see. Come on, sing your name. The fear that held us. your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Yes, you are. The tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the
this story reminds me of? In Revelation 21, 5 through 7, it says, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children."
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and such a great reminder that Jesus always wins. Now let's go ahead and hold out our hands to receive the blessing. May you know that Jesus is invincible, and may you rest in hope and joy as you wait for his return.